Welcome to Licking the Bowl, the story of an appetite with recipes. I'm Erica Lutz, recording from a secret, undisclosed location. Licking the Bowl is a forthcoming book. It's this podcast. It's a memoir with recipes. It's the story of a life recreated. It's my new thing with chickens. Episode 5. Date number 5 is the sex date, right? Right? 5? So Dan says I've got to give you some sex this episode. So let's talk about sushi. Also, Egg Watch 2017. Plus Doritos and Tabasco sauce 1983 and a recipe for angels on horseback. Sexy. Dan and I live deep in the forest, but we can get to Sacramento Midtown in about an hour and 15 minutes. Juhachi is there, as good and as fresh as any Bay Area sushi bar that we know. When good sushi calls from no matter how far away, I go. Heeding that call, Dan and I have been known to drive all the way to Sacramento and back just for sushi. And knowing we can do that makes living here in a place even the locals shake their heads over and say, wow, you live way out there. Doable. Sushi is dinner. Sushi is ritual and tradition. Sushi is celebration. Sushi is reward. Sushi is foreplay. Sushi is the same and it's different across the decades, from country to country, from restaurant to restaurant. Usually we sit at the bar, but sometimes we sit at a little table. And on those days, it might go something like this. When the waitress brings steaming green tea and oshibori, hot rolled washcloths, we order, and in a few minutes, a large assortment of nigiri arrives, arranged on a large lacquered plate. Fresh fish on tiny rice ovals, delicate mounds of green seaweed and shredded daikon, a small pile of ginger pickled by the sushi chef, and buds of freshly grated wasabi. I select a piece of hamachi and, after gently dipping the fish into the wasabi and soy sauce combination, take a bite. The flesh is pink, firm, and delicious, exactly the right temperature and texture. Flavor bursts in my mouth. I take a piece of shellfish, delicately curled on its rice pad. It's momentarily crunchy, but dissolves almost on tooth contact to a spreading softness that tastes like the sea. God, I love sushi. It's 1984. Matthew and I have sex in cars, and at his place and at mine. It's never planned. We bump into each other at San Francisco State in the art building. Then a few days later, we emerge from his bedroom, dazed and satiated, blinking in the light. Even though I leave a toothbrush at his place, Matthew and I are never boyfriend-girlfriend, though now, decades later, we usually categorize it that way. We are lovers. We are into hot tubs and sushi and each other. One memorable week, we begin our binge in the front seat of his car in the San Francisco State parking lot. We go to our favorite hot tub place on Clement Street. We eat at the finest sushi bar in the area. I spend the night. The next night is similar, though we skip the hot tub and go directly to the Japanese restaurant. The night after that, Matt gets out of bed because I am hungry and goes to Safeway to buy emergency filet mignon, which he cooks for me at midnight. The next night, we need more sushi. But sushi is expensive, so we go to a more moderate place. It's still amazing. We savor our nigiri, staring into each other's eyes as we moan and chew. And back to bed. By the end of the week, we are both broke. There's a little place on Church Street where sushi rolls are a dollar, brown rice, low-quality tuna, and we end up there, sushi skid row, suffering from the wasabi DTs. And after that night, it's a month or two before we spend the night together again. Many months later, there's another night. It's winter in San Francisco, and the rain and thunder wake us. We drive through the flooding, deserted streets to the top of Twin Peaks. The wind lashes around the car. Thunder booms. From the full 360-degree panoramic viewing spot on the top of the mountain overlooking San Francisco, we sit in the car watching the storm blow. The lightning bolts all around us on all sides, flashlighting the city below. You're listening to Licking the Bowl. This is Erica. This is episode 5. Up next, Egg Watch 2017. The chickens are now about 17 weeks old, which means they're just about ready to start laying their eggs. Payoff for all these months of feeding them, taking care of them, and not getting anything back, except for love. Love and cuteness, yeah. Inside each of the egg-laying boxes that Dan has so beautifully constructed, I've put straw, and I've put a single brown porcelain egg that looks just like the kind of eggs that they're going to lay. This is how, apparently, you teach chickens where they're supposed to lay their eggs, and it's supposed to inspire them to lay eggs, and it gives them practice on sitting on eggs. So, okay, porcelain eggs. And now we wait, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait. Licking the bowl. Sometimes it's literal. Sometimes it's metaphorical. Always, it's delicious. Doritos and Tabasco sauce, 1983. This is the part that everyone wants to hear about. For a few years off and on, I worked as a topless dancer and drink hustler to make travel money and really to satisfy my curiosity about that world. Dan calls me an ex-sex worker. I don't think that working as a professional stripper and sitting and talking with guys and hustling drinks puts me exactly in the sex industry, but it's close. When I worked at Pandora's Box, we girls would open a large bag of Doritos and shake a lot of Tabasco sauce directly into the bag. We'd plunge our hands in on our breaks between sets of Rock On and My City Was Gone and our time out on the floor hustling drinks. Red lights, cigarette smoke, sitting for hours next to men who were as hungry for conversation as they were to see pretty young bodies. We ate the chips in the break room. Natalie, who brought her new mink coat to work to show off, a present from a client. A week later it was gone and she was crying. He'd taken it back and given it to his wife. Ivy, 9 months pregnant and no longer working but lonely for her coworkers. She'd sneak into the break room through the back so the customers wouldn't see her. 2 months after having her son, she was back on the pole. Julie, one of the most popular girls in the club, who barely lifted a muscle during sets. She'd stand facing the audience, swaying slightly and gesturing first to her breasts, show them the tits. She'd turn her back to the audience, show them the ass. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Nikki, a skinny, pockmarked blonde whose real name was Rachel or maybe Lori, and who was a real hustler, hustling furniture for her Tenderloin apartment, hustling drugs, hustling me. The women who were working their way through Mills College, and then me, sweet Sarah, stripping my way to Europe and pretending I was learning about male sexuality, while really I was learning to compete and to cheat. We all ate that bag of Doritos together, even though we all hated each other, all in competition for tips, attention, and to hustle the most drinks. All of us with orange hands and tongues, the chips crisp, the coating grainy and salty and cheesy, the Tabasco adding zingy, sour hotness, but also softness, where it soaked into the chip crumbles at the bottom of the bag. It was really awful food, but deeply satisfying. Okay, so in keeping with this salty, sexy, seafoody experience of this particular episode, I'm going to give you a recipe for angels on horseback. Oysters on crostini, basically. I learned this recipe at Augusta's Restaurant, where I worked for a while in my late 20s, before I broke into technical writing and all the other kinds of writing and left restaurants and service jobs far behind. This was one of Augusta's specialties, and the presentation and the flavor of it makes it feel like a party. Confetti, birthday cake, pink dresses, sea jewels, the memory of a perfectly sweet and foggy day along the Northern California coast. It's sexy as hell. Let's start with making the crostini. Take some baguette, probably a little bit stale, and slice it very, very thin. You're going to need one crostini per oyster, and then maybe a couple of extra crostini. And then brush olive oil onto the slices. Put it in the toaster oven or in the oven, and just bake at a very low temperature. You basically want to just dry it out. You're making a little thin crouton. You're making a little horse for your angel, the oyster, to sit upon. Now you'll turn your attention to the oysters. You need a jar of fresh shucked large oysters, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of butter, 2 cloves of chopped garlic, a minced shallot, assorted herbs, fresh herbs, ideally, oregano, rosemary, any other desired, little thyme might be nice, splash of white wine, spritz of lemon, that's a little squeeze of lemon. So in the olive oil and butter, you're going to saute the garlic, shallot, and herbs. Add the oysters and cook until they're plump. Then you're going to take the oysters out and place them on the crostini, the angel on the horse. You deglaze the pan with your white wine and lemon and reduce it. Pour the sauce on top of the angels, on top of the horses, and serve them on a big platter for yourself or for others. That's it for episode 5. Thanks for your support. Hey, really, thanks for listening. Licking the Bowl is a Bear Clover Productions production. You can find us at lickingthebowl.com and on Instagram at lickingthebowl. Don't forget to lick the bowl, baby.